Let's now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the prophecy of Isaiah. There are two scripture readings this evening. Isaiah, the chapter 40, and the verse 1 to 8. And then we turn to the New Testament. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, the verse 1 to 8. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hills shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We now turn to the New Testament, to the Epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we read the entire chapter. Again, this is the word of the living God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, which are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that and of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, and to whom it was revealed, but not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. So reads God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious word to the glory of his name, to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Well, dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to those words that I read to you in the Old Testament, the Old Testament reading first of all, and then, the Lord willing, we'll be turning to the New Testament. First of all, Isaiah 40, and we read from the verse 1 to 8, and the Lord enabling me this evening to minister his word to the glory of his holy name. This chapter begins with words of comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. These are great words of comfort. They're amidst what we call the servant songs, the songs concerning the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into this world and take to himself bones of our bones and flesh of our flesh, and would dwell among men, and the glory of the Lord should be revealed. When he came into this world, the world received him not. He who is the light of the world, the light of glory, the light of heaven, came and comes to comfort sinners, to save his people. And there was, of course, John the Baptist. And the reference there in the verse 3 is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low. I believe that to be anthropomorphic language. Those who are like mountainous people, proud hearts shall be abased. Those who are low, the humble, the poor, those who are made to be humble and poor in spirit, the Lord indeed shall exalt them in the saving of their souls, so that they would glory in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did come, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. But then it is moved on to the subject of all flesh is as grass. And we're reminded there that man is grass. He is as the flower of the field that fadeth away, as the grass does fade, as the flower is beautiful, it has but a short life, and so is ours. What is man? But he is a vapor. Now this evening, with the Lord's gracious enabling, I take for my text the words found in the verse 7 and the verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And what we have before us in these two verses is dying men. We live in a dying world. We are dying men and women in this world. But then, by way of contrast, there is the living Word. The living Word of Almighty God that abideth forever. We want to think upon this theme this evening with the Lord's enabling. And as we turn now for a moment to 1 Peter, we notice those same words there in the verse 24. Peter quotes from this passage, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower as of the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And of course, the gospel speaks of the one who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, says John, and we beheld his glory. Now, it'd be helpful to either keep a Bible marker there in Isaiah 40, and one perhaps in 1 Peter. I want to just refer you back there to Isaiah 40. As we begin to look at these words in Isaiah 40, the verse 7, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it." Now, we're already told that man is as the grass, but here we're told that the grass withereth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And let's just take our minds back to creation. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them perfect. And there was no death in the world. And God said to Adam, "In the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die." And we know the biblical account, don't we, when we read Genesis chapter 3. That man strayed from God. And since Adam, all of his progeny, all of his offspring have died. And it can be said of each and every one of us. And you think of the words there in Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed unto men once to die." Why is it appointed unto man once to die? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that sin has spread to all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And when Adam came into this world, he did not come as a singular figure, but he came as our representative head. And all in Adam die. We not only have inherited that original sin, but sin has spread to all men. We come in like nature of fallen Adam, just as I use the illustration so often. You can go to a great giant redwood tree that grows some 300 feet tall, and you can take some of the root and squeeze the juice, or the sap, I should say, out of that root, and you can put it in a glass and do some chemical analysis upon it, and you can scale the height to the utmost part of that tree, the tiniest twig, and squeeze some of the sap from that twig, and what you will find is that it is exactly the same sap as it is in the root. And we are no different. Here the analogy, the picture is grass. And from a seed comes the same grass. Now the idea here of this grass is not the grass that we see when we tend to look at the grass here in the English countryside, and as I drive through Suffolk, it's lovely to be here. Many of us think that grass is immortal. But actually what in view here is the eastern grass, when the sun would rise up and it would soon go. That's the picture, that's the figure. As soon as it comes up, it looks fresh, doesn't it? And that is how man is. He comes into this world and it looks like he's full of life, but soon it ages. And we all go to a lost end. Now you notice the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. What meaneth this? Well, we know from the Scriptures that man is subject to futility. The wages of sin is death. And God had to subject men to death because of his sin. because we have contravened God's holy law. And God cannot countenance sin. Of course, that is man's responsibility. You remember in the days of Noah, when Noah was preaching, preacher of righteousness. And there he was, and the Lord said to Noah, in the days of that great wickedness before the great deluge, he said in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Now, when the scriptures say that man is flesh, we're not saying here God is stating the obvious. But the whole of man is carnal. The spirit has departed from the living God. And thus he is subject to death, because he has departed from the one who was life and who gives life. And that is what happened to Adam. He began to sin. The day that he sinned, he not only plunged himself and all of his progeny into darkness, but separation from God. Out of the garden was he ushered. Out from the tree of life. And we come into this world, don't we? Separated from God. Alienated, separated from the life of God. And there is no fear of God before men's eyes. He is as a grass. He comes proud in this world, looking promising. But that's all man is. He's a grass. Grass is not very impressive, is it? As we walk through the fields, we don't say, oh, this is wonderful grass. We look at the beautiful things around us. Yes, grass is nice, but there's nothing really outstanding, is there, about grass? And so it is with men. There's nothing outstanding, friends, about us. And it's only until we begin to see that, that we are vain. Man is vanity. And what profit a man after all his labours under the sun? Can he take his vanity with him? Can he take his things? Can he take all that he has worked to do and to have in this life with him? What is he? And even as the flower of the field with all of its beauty, beauty fades. Looks fade. Strength fades, doesn't it? Peter says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Oh yes, that's us by nature. But then we have the good news. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And Peter says, he applies this, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. There's life in the gospel. And there's life in the one who is, in which the whole of the gospel, dear friends, is centered. He who is the word, and he who spoke the worlds into its being, into its existence. So here we have dying men living in a dying world, but the living word of God. And so these two themes here this evening. And this is what John the Baptist was to cry as he preached repentance toward God. Verse 3 of Isaiah 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. For our God, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. You see, this is the preparation for the word of God. This is the preparation for Christ. He will be of no value, friend, to you, unless you see. I have no idea who was saved here this evening. But Christ, the living word, who is the word, and the Bible is the living word, which speaks of him, will have no value unless we have been made to see that we are as of grass. Unless we've been humbled, unless every highway and mountain shall be made low. Have you been humbled? to that point. That's the work of God. If you have, and you sat here as a Christian tonight, let me say, it was not we who brought ourselves to God, but it was He who humbled our souls and brought us low and made us to feel that we are but grass, and all flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof, any goodliness, and the word there, Peter has with reference to beauty. Anything so-called good in us, well, even that is spoiled, isn't it? We may do good things, but so often the good things we do are filled with pride, aren't they? I mean, I've met many people who do things for charity. And you ask them, why do they do it? And they say things like this, well, it makes me feel good. Or they say something like this, well, it's too good to do good, but they never think of God. You see, this is a great crime of humanity, isn't it? People are doing things for themselves, but not a thought for God, who gives life and who gives existence and who gives all things freely to enjoy. From the womb we stray from God. We pretend He doesn't exist. We live without Him. We don't glorify God. That's the great crime. That's the great sin. And that from there comes every sin, let me say. The great crime of humanity is not so much murder, adultery, and every vice. Yes, those things are wicked. But you see, if we loved God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, I tell you, there wouldn't be the sin in the world that there is. It is out of not loving God and giving God the glory that we thus sin. That's the great sin, isn't it? Not to love God with all of our heart. Adam was given that command to obey God, and he didn't. And that was his great fall, wasn't it? And then it continued on and on and on and on. And it is spread to all men. And that man is as flesh. And when the Lord said to Noah in that day when he was going to destroy, He said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. All we think sometimes about is ourselves, the flesh. We do not mind the things of God. He was spirit. A man is just living here by nature without God. And all of his glory is for himself. He lives for himself. And all of his beauty and everything is just fading away. So dying men in a dying world, man is as grass. You know, in that oldest psalm, probably the Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses, he describes there men as grass again. It's a familiar phrase. Psalm 90, the verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. When it is past, as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. The first thing we would have to say that man's days are few, aren't they? Remember what Job said, My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They pass, don't they, so swiftly as vapor. Man is born to trouble. You think of grass, how susceptible it is to damage. The beasts trod on it. It's a very apt figure, isn't it? There's nothing commendable. It's there for just this, certainly this eastern grass. It's there just for a short period of time. Animals eat it. It's underfoot trodden very quickly. But men boast. What is man? And yet it doesn't stop men boasting, does it? Man and his achievements. what does man have to parade before God? Nothing. There's nothing that man has that he should vaunt himself before God. But he does. And as soon as the summer flower comes, he's gone. And what's more, think of how quickly grass burns. Here we are, frail, the summer's flower and the grass. And what is more, the Bible tells us that there is a firing inferno called hell, where men are cast into the fire forever and forever. And yet men, they live in this world. Solomon says this concerning men in this world. He observed many things, Solomon. It was given to him to observe the things done under the sun and how men live. And he says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also to the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. There's madness in the heart of men while they live. They have a conscious awareness. The things of God are manifest to them. Why? Because by his invisible attributes, God has shown that he is. Yet men live in open denial of him. And while they live, says Solomon, they live in this madness. They live to their own ends. And after that, they go to the dead. Yes, the bodies go to the ground. But what about that never dying soul? It's madness, isn't it? Or the vanity of every creature. Just as the vanity of grass, it's weak, it's withering. The beauty of the creature doesn't last long. It doesn't take much to conclude that. I don't need to conclude anybody on that subject. I don't need to convince you, do I? Every day I look in the mirror at my face. It's saying that to me, I'm a dying man. You're a dying woman. We're dying creatures. And even all of the comforts that we have in this life, do they last? Well, they certainly don't please us in the long term, do they? We're not happy with them. Well, they're dying comforts, and they can do no good to immortal souls, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But he also said to those who believed him not, he said, "I go my way and ye shall seek me and die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come." Why? Because he is the Word. He is the Word by which this gospel is preached. You see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh to live amongst men and to take to himself, as I said earlier, bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh. To take on himself, imagine it, a body that would begin as an infant. The apostle tells us in Romans 8 that he took on sinful flesh. Now that does not mean that there was any sin in him. But that means surely that there in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the process of time, he became a man. Now Adam was grown a full-blown man, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ, who was from eternity past, never had a body, and took to himself a body that he shall never, my dear friends, relinquish. He now has a glorified body, and that is why he came into this world, to take to himself. It behooved him to become like unto his people, to save them who are as grass. And that is wonderful, isn't it? When we consider the condescension of God, it is amazing. He whom angels worship and adore. The glory of heaven, the praise of the Father, should become a servant, should come into this world. He who is the living Word, the Word become flesh. So dying men, but the living Word. You notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 24. He says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. He has been telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, how precious he is, and how he would redeem his people. But you notice in the verse 23, he says, being born again. How is it? How is it that sinners may live and abide forever with God? He says, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Yes, Psalm 106, the Lord's truth shall endure to all generations. But here we're thinking more specifically, not so much about the written word, but the one who is the word, who is from everlasting to everlasting, being born again by his Spirit and by his written word. And it is through the word preached in the gospel that a soul, being taught by the Spirit of God, is born again. The soul that believes on Christ by the grace of God, being born again, he says, not of corruptible seed. You see, corruptible seed as being in Adam. All in Adam shall die, but all in Christ shall live. He said to his disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. There he explained he was as the corn that would be thrown into the ground, and except the corn die. Of course, that means when he died, that was his body. The moment he died and breathed his last, he said, into thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit. But his body was put to death. But in that body was no sin. He is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And in his own body he bore the sins of his dear people. Not that there was any good in them, that they should merit his favor and his grace. Those, you see, who take him singly at his word, they are born again. Has the Spirit so worked in your heart, my dear friend, and the Word come to you? That's it, it's both, isn't it? It's the Spirit and the Word. The Holy Spirit moved men to write, as Peter tells us in this very book of 1 Peter. The Spirit moved men to give the Word, and the Word spoke of the one who is the Word. But friends, we've got to realize this when we come to this world. Even when you look at a little baby, it's a dying creature. And it must be born again if it would ever see the shores of heaven. If it will ever see God. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. How is it, Nicodemus, thou understandest not these things? You're a teacher of Israel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. The water I believe to be when we pass through our mother's womb and we come into this world. We're born for the first time, but then being born again by the Spirit, to receive the Word which is Christ. This is the only way that a creature is changed. The soul is made alive and brought to Christ. The prophets and the apostles preach the same doctrine. God has said, isn't he, I will give a new heart. That was the promise. And I will put my Spirit within you to walk after my statutes And my ways, you see, it's always the new heart, but there are many. Think, in becoming a Christian, you do certain things in order to approve yourself before God. My dear friends, there's nothing we can do. We're all grass by nature. And we're lost and without hope in Adam. And unless we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and then put into the kingdom of the light of God's dear Son, we shall not see the light of heaven. We shall not see the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die." John 11:26. Never die. And that means the second death. Of course, we will see the first. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, my dear friend, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you notice, as we hearken back just for a moment there, as we seek to draw to a close this evening, Isaiah 40, the verse 9. See the context in which all these things come. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, unto the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Remember, as the Lord Jesus Christ preached to those cities in his ministry where they received him not, and he said, concerning them, it'll be more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than for them in the day of judgment. Why? Because they rejected him. They rejected him who is the Word. And then he prayed to the Father, even so, Father, thou hast hidden these things from the prudent and the wise, but hast revealed them unto babes. God makes us babes. He makes us little lambs. He saves us and he brings us into the arms of the dear Saviour, who is the Lamb of God, who suffers in our stead if we are his people, and brings us home to glory. My friends, this is the only way a man is saved. Do not believe all the polluted nonsense that comes from many a pulpit today. This is the gospel. We are as grass. We are dying men and women. Not only because of our parents' sin, but our own sin. And we're either going to a lost eternity or to be with Christ the Saviour. And the only way we may be saved is by him. Him who said, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Yes, he was dead, he says. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. My dear friends, he has the keys of death. He who created this world and this universe determines our days. And when he puts the key into the door of death, he says he openeth and no man shutteth. And he has the keys of hell as well. But blessed be God, he has the keys of heaven. And he opens and shuts. And no man openeth. God shut Noah in, didn't he? Into the ark. As the Lord put us into Christ and shut us in with him, we owe it all to free and sovereign grace. And if we're sat here this evening, yes, we say, "Yes, I am but grass, Lord. What am I?" and I'm soon going to meet the grave. But the grave is not my end. The Apostle Paul, doesn't he remind us that we shall all die? This body shall put on corruption. Shall it not? It shall. We shall see the grave, unless Christ comes, of course. But that's not our end, is it? It's not our end at all. He says, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable in the faith. And those who are lost, only the Lord can address your soul, but I would say this, here we are, dying men. In a dying world, here is the living word. And if you are to be saved, you must believe it with all your heart. Pray to God. Seek him while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. And you will make a happy discovery. If you are ever to be saved, it was the Lord that brought you to seek him and to hear his word. And glory will be given to God, not to any man, not to yourself. But the Lord gives life. The Lord who is the word. And his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. Not only blessed in this life, my dear friend, but in eternity to come. Praise be to our God and Saviour. Amen. Our Father, as we conclude our services today, thank thee, O Lord, for thy word, the word of truth, and the word who became flesh, even Jesus Christ, the righteous, who came into the world for such poor worms as us, withering as the grass of the field, dying one generation after the next. But blessed be God, we thank thee for the man that trusteth in the Lord, by free and sovereign grace, made to see that a man shall be as an hiding place, that which is a shelter from the storm, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of a water in a dry place, a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We thank thee for the rock of our salvation, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou might be pleased tonight to move in souls, to bring them to that place of the Word. Not only the Word of God, the written Word, but the One who is the Word that became flesh. He died for all them that repent and believe upon him by the grace of Almighty God. So bless us now and keep us, we pray. Draw near to us, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, for ever and ever. Amen.